It's great, isn't it? And Manchester's a really good place to have this, because it's here in Manchester that he actually uttered those words you just quoted. He nearly got fired from the computing laboratory for saying that, because he was phoned up by a journalist and he started talking about the capability of computers when they got this tiny, tiny machine that really couldn't do anything. And he was talking about it writing poetry and starting relationships with other computers. And it was called completely science fiction and rather inappropriate for 1949. But anyway, it's great to see it on a £50 note.
Tell us about your uncle.
I think the popular perception of Alan Turing, somebody who's really rather difficult to get on with and sort of too nerdy for his own good. And I've seen two facets of him, actually. When I've talked to the people who worked with him years ago, you've got a very different kind of picture. You've got a picture of somebody who's actually quite congenial, who's got a wicked sense of humour. And certainly not somebody who's too nerdy to know whether he's being invited to lunch or not. So I think we have to be a bit careful about thinking of him as being somebody who's socially dysfunctional. But on the other hand, I would say that he's a good role model for people who think that, you know, because they're interested in things like computer science or maths or things that are considered to be for some reason difficult subjects, then he's somebody who can stand as a role model and say, you know, look, I could manage to do this and so can you.
When you say a difficult man, can you expand on that for us a little bit?
Well, my sense is that any subject is difficult if you don't find that you have a sort of an immediate sort of aptitude for it. And I think that for whatever reason, and I don't think I know what those reasons are, there's been a view that some subjects, and I think it's particularly what we call the STEM subjects, have been considered to be somehow difficult. And I think it's just really a matter of finding ways to get kids' imaginations fired up about things. And that's why some place like the Manchester Museum of Science and Industry is really good. It's been full of school kids today, really enjoying themselves, finding out about stuff. And I think if you stopped any one of those on the way out of the museum and said, did you think what you saw today was difficult? They'd all be saying, well, what's he on about? So I think, you know, we have to just challenge that perception in society that some subjects are more difficult than others and just accept that people's imaginations work in different ways, and it's just a matter of striking that light that helps kids see something that they hadn't seen in a subject before.
How do you remember him?
Well, I'm... your viewers will be able to tell how strikingly youthful I am, and that means that I was born after he died, so I'm afraid I don't have any personal memories.
But I'm sure that as family members have spoken about his character.
Yeah, that's true. So I think the other facet of Alan Turing's character, which is the one which is the more socially ill-adapted one, that story does come from the family, really, because the kinds of social events that my father would have invited his brother, that's Alan, to, would have been the more sort of traditional kind of sherry parties of the 1940s and 1950s. And that's the kind of social setting where Alan Turing was extremely unhappy. And so, you know, he wouldn't behave in a socially acceptable manner, and he wouldn't make polite conversation to people, and he sort of would leave at the earliest possible opportunity, and he wouldn't dress up wearing the right kind of tie. So you can get a picture of somebody who's a bit, you know, swimming against the stream there.
Okay, and what as a family, what difference do you think that his contribution made to the war?
Well, I think, let me answer your question in two parts. First of all, the achievements of the codebreakers at Bletchley Park is undoubtedly something that the British people are very proud of, and with very good reason. I think it's difficult to overstate the contribution that Bletchley Park made to the course of World War II. But it is easy also to overstate the role that Alan Turing played in that. He was one of a large team of codebreakers, and while his role was very important, I think, you know, he didn't do it single-handedly, and I think it's very important to remember that.
Good to talk to you.
But the other thing I think is quite interesting...
Sorry, I interrupted you. Carry on.
Well, the other thing I think No. So the other thing I think is quite interesting is that the Bank of England decided not to major on the code-breaking and Bletchley Park story in their imagery on the £50 notes. And they've been careful to explain that what they wanted to do is to celebrate Alan Turing's other great achievement, which is the story of computers. And so all the imagery is around Alan Turing's personal involvement in the development of computers in the middle part of the last century. And that's why they chose Manchester to launch the new £50 note design, because that's where Alan Turing did a great deal of his work on computing machines. It's actually quite nice to balance out the story of Alan Turing's achievements with something that I think in his own lifetime he was probably more famous for.